"Let me just run this by my lawyer" is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products. Because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
KFI AM 640, you're listening to the John and Ken Show on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
Neil Saavedra just walked in, and we were talking about TradWise, and this woman doesn't spend more than $100 without consulting her husband. And he said, well, isn't there an amount that you'd need to run by your husband before you spend? And that's an excellent point. And I'm trying to figure out what that amount is. I would say $2,500. I'd have to say, hey, I'm spending.
But your husband would talk to you as well,
oh,
right?
Of course, yes.
Right? So it's not just the woman asking, right? If you're buying a big purchase, my husband and I, we talk about things like that.
That's true. You're right. Very good. Yeah. Yeah, Neil.
So there.
Yeah. I wanted to take calls from people who are living in their RVs because we see them everywhere. And there's an interesting story in the LA Times that if you live in an RV and you don't have a home, you don't necessarily consider yourself homeless because you have a home, it's just on wheels. But these things are so expensive. New RVs can cost as much as $300,000, you know? I mean, it's just, it's a ridiculous amount of money. And I just am curious where people along their journey from living in a house to now living in a motorhome or an RV, how did they acquire that? How much it costs? That sort of thing. And I asked for you to call, and because I knew people would, because you listen to KFI. Everybody listens to KFI. Billionaire CEOs and people out of their house, homeless people listen to KFI. So first, I want to take Veronica. Hi, Veronica. Tell me your story briefly.
Hi, I'm just really grateful to KFI. You guys are so funny. I am homeless. I am in a motorhome. And sometimes it's depressing, and your station just really can make a person laugh.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you. But tell me how you ended up homeless and in a motorhome and when you got the motorhome.
Okay, well, I was working, and then my boyfriend passed away when COVID first came out. And so then, bam, I couldn't afford the rent all by myself, $1,200 alone. I could not do it. So I ended up going to a shelter, and the shelter, your time's going to be up. And then you go back to the streets in these temporary shelters. And I have a little boy, so I was really scared. So the money I saved from my part-time job, I was able to get a motorhome, a used one, for $5,000. On payment. So the lady held it for me until I was able to give the whole $5,000. So I bought the motorhome. I'm actually in it right now. And I try to find a legit place to park it, but they're not accepting motorhomes because of the COVID and everything that's going on right now. So if it wasn't for having the motorhome, I would have been back in the streets, literally on the sidewalk with my little boy. because those temporary shelters, like, it's only temporary. People really don't know what goes on in those, and I didn't want my little boy around that.
So you were able to eventually save $5,000, you said. Yes. And what kind of motorhome did you get for that?
You know what? I got an old one, like I want to say an 89, and it didn't really run up to par, but I invested money to get it running. And I do have like a bathroom that it's not where I have to litter or anything. And then I do have it registered with full insurance and everything.
Really?
And now, yes. And now for us, some of the other ladies like myself that are single moms out here, they actually have motorhomes too. And they have them legit with registration, insurance, and everything.
Wait. So is there like a little village of you? I mean, do you and other single women?
Yes, there's a lot of us, yes.
May I ask where you are?
We're single moms. Well, I don't want to say where we're at because we don't want other people to come because we keep it clean right here. We keep it legit. Like if somebody comes up here, they have to, like, keep it clean. We talk to them, like, you can't be here unless you're going to clean up.
Are you still working?
You know what? I'm between jobs. I'm actually looking for a job. I went to an interview the other day.
What's your day like? Just tell me what your day is like.
Okay, my day is I take my little son to school, and then I have to run everything on propane gas, so I fill up the propane gas, and then I have dinner ready for when he comes home from school, and then my little shower runs on propane, everything runs on propane. He has a little shower and everything, and then we do his homework, and he's only in second grade, so he's getting straight A's. And that's how our day is.
And where are you getting money now? Do you get some aid?
Yeah, but it's not enough aid. You know, it's just not enough aid. It's not enough.
Can I ask, where is it? Government? I don't know how this stuff works. Are you getting, you know, CalFresh or something like that?
Yeah, we get CalFresh.
And what's the plan, Veronica? Where do you see yourself in a year?
Well, you know what? Honestly, I'm trying to get a full-time job now that COVID is getting more, like, I think at the end of this month, it's going to be more places are opening up. And then
COVID's over.
Yeah. So, no, now, yeah, but it was not over, like, for, like, it was really hard for to have my baby in school and everything. Mm. So it's really hard for the daycare and everything. And so now everything's actually looking brighter. And so then now I'm just waiting for the weather to get a little better. And then that's it. Then it's going to be smooth sailing because we've been like in a storm, literally in a storm, just with the cost of everything. Food is so high. Rent is so high. It's been really hard. But I just have a lot of faith. And I feel it's just a little storm and it's going to be smooth sailing.
Before I let you go, how are you doing?
You know what? I'm surviving. I just feel like the people that are running all these programs to help the homeless, they don't even know what they're doing. Like, and that's the sad part because money is getting wasted. Like, it's just getting thrown away. And then that's why even more people are falling into homelessness. And we don't need temporary shelters. We don't need these tiny houses. We need permanent housing, something that could work with our income.
Right. Veronica.
You know, like, honestly, I wouldn't even mind giving my whole check if it was something that's going to be permanent housing, because it's sad. At the end of the day, sometimes you feel like a failure, and you're just trying.
Veronica, I wish you all the best of luck for you and your son. Thank you very much for calling and sharing your story.
And thank you to KFI, because that's how we get our news.
Oh, my gosh. Well, don't listen to me. I don't know what I'm talking about. Okay, thank you very much. Wow. You know, I don't know what we're going to do when we come back. We got a couple other callers that we may want to talk to, or we may move on. That was a bit of a reality check. Jane Wells filling in for John and Ken, KFI AM 640.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
We are and maybe people that I'm about to talk to can explain the difference between over the air and audio. I have been doing this deep dive here on the John and Ken show, a topic you will never ever hear again on the John and Ken Show, talking to people who are living in their RVs because they no longer have homes, and how they were able. I'm always fascinated. How are you able to afford that motorhome or RV? I mean, even if it's broken down, it still costs a lot of money. We heard from Veronica in the last segment. Raul, we're checking in with you. What's your situation? Thanks for joining us, and what's your situation?
Well, thanks for having me. My situation is that I'm homeless, clearly. Well, I lost my job a few years ago, and it's not because of COVID. I just got fired. But when I lost my job, obviously...
Wait. Why'd you get fired?
I like pot.
Okay.
A lot.
All right.
I guess it's frowned upon at my old workplace. Like, you can't smoke pot while you're on the job. It's a stupid rule. But anyways, I got fired. So that trickled down to me losing my apartment. Now, luckily, before I lost my apartment, I had bought a camper that I pull around with my truck because I have a small Toyota pickup. So what I do is I drive around. Walmarts are friendly. You can only be there two nights, though, and then they'll tell you to leave. But the great thing about that is that they have bathrooms, as long as they don't catch you using their bathrooms. And I have a small generator, obviously, so if I do need power. I've been doing it for 2 or 3 years now, and I love it. It's great.
How much did the camper trailer cost you when you first were able to purchase it?
It costed me a couple grand, and no more than about $3,500. It's a small travel trailer, so it's not a motor one with a motor in it. It's right. One that I pull with my truck.
What's the condition? What does it look like on the inside and the outside?
The condition?
Yeah.
It's beautiful. It's great. It's not falling apart or nothing. I'm not your typical homeless person. Mm. If you look me up on social media, I have about... So I'm a small part-time actor as well. I do commercials and stuff in Los Angeles and stuff like that. So if you look me up on social media, I have a pretty big social media following.
Where? Ted, I want to check you out. Where? What's your handle on what?
So it's Raul, Raul, A-C-I-0-U-S. My name is Raulacious for the males. For the females, you can call me Raulacious. I'm not your typical homeless person, but I am homeless. But like I said, I still make money through my acting, through small gigs that I get. I've done some stuff with Dennis Rodman. I've done some stuff with Alex Russell on SWAT. Like I said, I have a pretty good following, so 40 or 50,000 on TikTok.
What's it? Jeez. My head's exploding.
Yeah, but I want to do this. This is great.
Right.
Look, and not just that. So I've tried to apply at a place, okay? Now, they want you to make for a one bedroom.
I think
they want me to make three
know.
Or four times.
I'm sorry, go
three
ahead.
Or four times the amount?
So,
they want me to make three or four times the amount.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Raul, how much are you making? What's your income right now?
Around $5,200 a month.
Wow.
Hold on a second.
Yeah, but I want, exactly, but I want to live like this.
Why?
I'm not going to pay some guy's mortgage and then screw myself over just to have a place. Like, this is more freedom for me. I can travel. I have money to go do things. I'm always in New York.
Okay. So,
you know what I mean?
You're always in New York.
Oh, yeah.
True.
Like, if you look at my last picture that's on there, that was from me in New York City.
Are you on Instagram? I'm trying to find you again. You're on Instagram?
Instagram. Yes.
R-A-U-L.
So R-A-U-L.
Uh-huh.
A-C-I-0-U-S. Raulicious. Or Raulacious.
Oh, okay.
You can call me Raulicious.
I got you.
You are a female.
I got you. You have almost...
I actually just purchased a brand... I also do cart. So like I said, I have gigs.
Okay.
I don't have a real job. I'm not clocking in. I'm not doing your 9 to 5.
I got it.
I want to work when I want to work.
Okay. What's the plan? Just to continue as you are?
No. Well, to save up the money. So right now my credit score is pretty good. It's at like 686. So to buy me to make 3 times a week.
Thank you. Thank you very much for your call, Raul. Appreciate that. That was fun. I want to quicken if I can sneak in real quick. David, as I gather myself, what's your story?
Hi. I lost my job a long time ago, and I bought an RV, and I loved it. I saved a ton of money.
Well, how much did the RV cost you?
Well, back then it was $5,000. That's like 30 years ago.
So you held on to it all that time. Are you living in it now?
No, no. But I've owned a few, and I have kids and wife. And I know that's how my wife really loved me, because when I met her, I was living in an RV. So she was totally like, it's cool. And then we went on vacations and just jammed all over the place. I think it's like my first home, basically, because I sold it, made money, and was able to buy a place. But okay. Then I kept wanting to go back to owning an RV and living in it because it's so cool. And your last callers represent the diversity in people, you know, just that need help. And
or don't want awesome. Help. I mean, Veronica would like to. Raul seems to be pretty happy where he's at. But you are now housed. You're not homeless.
No, but I tell my kids all the time, if you want to make it through life, you have to sacrifice a little bit. And an RV would be the way for anybody. I give them advice that are struggling. Stop paying rent and own something. Make payments to the RV. I never parked in the same place overnight, you know, over and over or nothing right. like that. And it was different back then. There was no RV laws. I could park anywhere down by the beach,
right.
hang out. And I lived clean.
David, thank you. Thank you very much for your call. Real quick, I'm going to squeeze in Brenda. Brenda, you've got like 30 seconds. What's your story?
Oh, my gosh. I've been in my RV 22 years. I have an 87 Toyota Dolphin. It's beautiful. It had 39,000 miles on it when my best friend, who has way too much money, she lives in one of those mansions in Naples. She bought it for me, $11,000. I have my four dogs, my four cats. I was a realtor for 20 years. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I get up in the morning. I leave. I go feed feral cats. I start my day. I have two cars. I'm not those people that you think about. However, I've been in my motorhome for 22 years, and I love it. Yes, I would love to have a house, but I don't want that mortgage. Don't want it. I can't do it myself. I'm not with somebody that can pay that mortgage. So this is my home.
All right.
I'm listening to the rain on the roof right now. It's wonderful.
Brenda.
So keep me on because I have the solution to end homelessness, and I mean it. I mean it.
In one sentence, what is the solution to end homelessness?
They rent a cargo van that's turned into a studio, and if they have a job, it's called Get Job, Get Keys. They get to rent it from the money from their job. So
all
if
right.
they quit or get fired and they can't pay the rent on the first, the van is removed. If they're worked for 2 or 3 years, the van is given to them. I have it all written down. I mean, this is brilliant.
Brenda?
Who have a driver's license and who are insurable.
Uh-huh. You're brilliant. I thank you for calling in and sharing your story. Boy, guys, we've had quite an illuminating half hour here on KFI and the John and Ken Show. They'll never have me back probably after that. I think I got a few questions answered, but I have many more. We're moving on, though. When we come back, what it's like to host a family of Ukrainian refugees that you thought were going to be there for 2 to 4 weeks, and it's now at the 4 week point, and they're still there. We will talk to a woman, a friend of mine, who's been doing this as she tries to help this family of refugees get on their feet. And the aid organizations aren't exactly helping as much as they promised they would. Jane Wells filling in for John and Ken, KFI AM 640.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
You know, this is harder than people think it is, and I have not done this in months, and I'm totally out of practice. Not that I'm ever good at it, but hi, everyone. You, too, can fill in for John and Ken on the number one talk radio show host station in the West. I'm Jane Wells from CNBC, KFI AM 640, heard everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Just hearing that 100 Years of Disney ad, Bob Iger was at an event yesterday where he admits that maybe they raised their ticket prices for the theme parks a little too aggressively and maybe have alienated some of their core fans. I'm not assuming they're going to expecting them to lower those rates, but it is interesting that even at Disney, there may be a limit to love, a financial limit to love. Now, This is a story that Steve Gregory has reported on before, and Conan Nolan did a wonderful job as well for Channel 4 on the Curtas. They are a family of five Ukrainians. Mom, Julia, who's does hair. The dad, Andre, is a mechanic and does construction. And they've got three beautiful children, 14, 8, and 5. And they lived in a town in Ukraine where they have that large, the largest nuclear power plant in Europe that the Russians now control. And the town is surrounded and the bombs are flying. And they got the hell out of Dodge. And they made their way through the help of aid organizations to get to France, then to North Carolina, and then to California. Now, you hear these stories of refugees making their way here out of Afghanistan or Ukraine and trying to start over. You never hear about the people who take them in. That's where I come in. I have a newsletter called Wells Street, which is at janewells.substack.com. And I'm always talking about, well, I'm trying to look at things at another angle. So who took in this family? Well, I know the people who took in this family because they are friends of mine. They're in Thousand Oaks, Sherry Phoenix and John Lungawa. They're empty nesters. And they out of the kindness of their heart, opened up their house to a family of five. They had originally signed up after the fall of Afghanistan for a program through Airbnb where you would host a refugee family. They don't get any money for this. You know, this is out of pure compassion. And so they never heard about Afghanis, but suddenly they get a call from this aid organization saying, would you take the Curtas? They talked it over and they said yes. They were told it would be 2 to 4 weeks. Today marks 4 weeks. The Curtas are still there. It has turned out to be incredibly hard to get them to a place where they can live and then start looking for work. And the aid organizations that promised to help now say they won't help with housing, though they will provide aid after housing is secured. And Sherry has turned from being just somebody who's opened her home to now having to be their English-speaking advocate. Sherry, you're on the phone with me right now. How's it going? This is the 4 week today. How's it going?
Hey, Jane. It's continued chaos. The soundtrack to my days, I think, is Yakety Sax from the Ben Eagle Show.
Where are you in terms of helping them? I mean, they are working their angles as much as they can. Ukrainian Facebook pages, you've started a GoFundMe, which has raised, you know, they're getting close to where they can make first and last month's rent and a security deposit somewhere. How is the search for housing going? And are the aid organizations who promise to help them with housing helping?
The search for housing is the biggest obstacle. It's not going well yet. I think it's just too big a problem, and there's not enough information out there, not enough assistance from those refugee organizations, so we're kind of tackling it on our own, and they are being told by landlords that they need a co-signer because they don't have a credit history, and they don't have jobs, and they don't have any money. It's almost impossible to get them into a rental house or apartment. I don't know how people do it.
They now have, over $11,000 in the GoFundMe, but they have nothing. They don't have furniture. They don't have anything. Are they going to be able to use that money? Are they at least apartment hunting now with this sort of like, hey, we've got some money?
They are. And we had a big jump forward in progress today when the school district came out to the house. And they are preparing to enroll their kids in school. And the school district brought a Russian translator. And so they forged a bond that way. And there are a couple of schools in the district that have a Ukrainian-Russian community and kids who speak Ukrainian and Russian. And so the school district now is looking into trying to find them housing in an apartment building in Westlake near the schools where they are looking to send their kids.
How are you doing? Because they were supposed to be gone by now. And and I know you're spending a lot of money that you're not seeking any money. You're just being a good person, you and John. But you've turned into this full-time advocate. How are you doing?
It's one day at a time. It's like eating an elephant one bite at a time. We just, put our heads down and go every day, power through. Today, Andre had gotten a call from somebody who read about him on Nextdoor and was looking to hire him to do a little handyman work. So we went over there, and he's got a job. He's going to fix her sink on Sunday. In the meantime, Julia is always working the angles, as you say. And the school district is really surprising me with all of the community resources and family resources they have. The kids are, you know, not only going to get to go to school and learn English and make friends, but they're going to get free and reduced lunch. They're going to get clothing from a program through the school district foundation. And so once they're in school, Julia and Andre will have more time to look for housing and for those jobs, because that's what they need now. They can get into a place because of the GoFundMe donations, but they don't have the sustainable income to keep it going.
Yeah, they need a Ukrainian or Russian godfather who's going to help them because they don't speak English. I know you talk to them. You talk to each other through Google Translate. I interviewed them through Google Translate. It's the most tortuous experience I've had in a long time, because it leaves a lot of words in Ukrainian don't get translated well. But you've lived with them now for 4 weeks. You've had a family of five strangers in your house for 4 weeks. And before I let you go, you know, what's that been like?
Well, they're not strangers anymore. it's kind of like their children are my children, although it's not my job to co-parent them, but it's the same general relationship. But we all get along, which is pretty amazing. And, you know, the family's very helpful, and Dad likes to make soup for the kids for lunch, and we all get together around the table at night and talk and laugh, and we especially laugh at the mistakes that Google Translate makes. But it's surprisingly workable so far.
Well, you know, you're confident it won't last forever. You told me, look, you were pregnant twice and didn't drink wine for 9 months both times, so you can do anything for a while. Sherry, I have to let you go. The GoFundMe is Help the Curtas. I've met them. You know, they're the kind of immigrants that are going to make America fantastic for the next generation. And so I just am amazed at Sherry and John and their compassion and patience as they try to work through this. All right. Jane Wells filling in for John and Ken. KFI AM 640. When we come back, Steve Gregory's supposed to get in here to talk about the Oscars. Instead of Oscars So White, I'm calling it Oscar So What.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
Joined by Steve Gregory.
Yeah, good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us here at KFI. Jerry Goldsmith wrote one of the very first original themes for Oscar. It was called Theme for Oscar.
I loved him too.
And I remember using that in a feature piece that I did many years ago. And then I think James Horner took a crack at it, but they didn't use it.
Wow.
And then Hans Zimmer he's done the most recent official one, because I remember when he was the musical director 1 year.
Did Jerry Goldsmith do the theme from the movie Exodus, which is like one of my...
I believe he did, yes.
Dun, 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 dun.
Dun, 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 dun.
I love that. Yes. Officially hashtag old.
You want to talk soundtracks? Let's do that.
No. So you're covering the Oscars, the 95th Academy Awards, Oscar So White. I'm calling it Oscar So What. Have you seen any of the movies?
I have not.
And you're covering.
Well, see, here's the thing. This goes back a long time with us. We don't cover the winners and losers anymore. We don't do any of that. What we do is cover the backstage.
Right.
Because that's where all the good stuff happens.
Well, with the winners and losers.
Yeah, but we talk to those people that come back about stuff that's not discussed on stage.
What are you going to ask them about, the homeless problem or?
Well, I remember 1 year when a colleague of mine, do you remember when the pianist had won?
Uh-huh.
Oh, Adrian Brody?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, God, that's a long time ago.
Yeah, but those are moments like that where I remember that will stick with me forever. When a colleague of mine asked, it was the producer that accepted on behalf of Roman Polanski, and who won for Best Director.
Oh, right.
Okay. And my colleague says, how does it feel to accept an Oscar on behalf of a pedophile? And the whole room went,
oh,
collective gasp. You could
hear
it.
Was that Laurel Erickson? Because she would have asked that.
Yeah, Laurel would have done it.
Yeah.
But it was Chris Stanley.
Oh, excellent.
May he rest in peace.
Excellent. That's good. I live for that. So, Matt, Jimmy Kimmel's hosting again, which I was a little surprised because he sort of stole Quinta Brunson's moment in the Emmys when he laid down, which I watched. And I predict, of course, Matt Damon's going to come up and slap him. That will be the slap because he and Matt Damon have this.
That'll be the shtick.
Yeah, right. Like, I'm already bored. of the pictures I have seen, now, I have not been to a movie theater since before COVID.
Same here.
And box office, while it was up in 2022, I think it was up 26% compared to the year before. It's still down more than a third from pre-COVID. But all these movies are, a lot of these movies are streaming. So I've seen, of the 10 best pictures, I have seen three, which is better than usual.
Better than me. Yeah.
I saw The Banshees of Inisherin, which I love the first half, hated the end. I saw All Quiet on the Western Front. I've seen four of these. And I've told my husband, I never need to see another battle scene again for the rest of my life. I'm done with, I saw, 1917. I've seen, Saving Private Ryan, blah, blah, blah. Everything Everywhere All at Once, which will probably win. And I loved it. I thought Michelle Yeoh.
And I'm looking forward to watching that.
Oh, my gosh. The surprise, the one that'll surprise you there is Jamie Lee Curtis. Because it's like, oh, wow. But here, of all those, this clip is from my favorite movie that I have seen in the last year.
You should be at least a two-star admiral by now. Yet here you are. Captain. What is that?
It's one of life's mysteries, sir.
And one of life's mysteries is how much I loved Top Gun Maverick.
Score by Hans Zimmer.
Yes.
And also, did you see the clip of Steven Spielberg and Tom Cruise at the nominees luncheon?
No.
It is really, you got to look it up on Instagram. Someone posted it on Instagram. If you look it up right now and see the audio, you hear them and you see them embrace. And Steven Spielberg leans in and says, you saved Hollywood. He leans in and says, you single-handedly have saved Hollywood.
Wow, like Tom Cruise needs to hear that. But
actually from him, because remember there was a history of some sort of tension between the two of them on War of the Worlds. That there's that rumor that had been swirling around where Spielberg refused to work with Cruise again.
I didn't know that.
So that I remember that. And so there was this deep-seated tension, I think, there. And this was the first time they had seen each other since that filming.
Well, The Fabelmans, of course, is now maybe Spielberg voted for Top Gun over the movie that's about him. That would be interesting.
The only one, I didn't see the movie, but the only person I want to win from The Fabelmans is John Williams.
Oh, you and the music.
Well, it's all connected so far, right?
Yeah, that's true.
And if he wins,
is Hans Zimmer up? Let me see if he's.
He's always up.
Yeah, he's out.
But if Williams wins for Fabelmans. He will be the oldest living Oscar winner.
How old?
91.
Wow.
And he's also has the distinction of having the most nominees of anyone alive. Second to Walt Disney.
There is a great podcast called Blockbuster produced by Matt Schrader, where he goes back to the original Jaws and then Star Wars and how those guys and how when George Lucas brought John Williams in, Williams did more, let's create emotions, not so much visually, which was amazing, but with the music. So like the Darth Vader theme.
The motifs of each of the characters.
And if you think about, and the same with Jaws. Jaws was a perfect example. The shark was crap. The shark that they were using, that Spielberg had to remake several times.
It kept breaking down.
And John Williams came in and they decided, all right, you're not going to see the shark in that opening sequence, but you're going to hear the music. And that,
the two most frightening notes ever. It's two notes.
Oh my, I'm getting,
bum, 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 bum,
right
bum,
now,
bum, bum, bum.
I was in, junior high and I didn't even want to go look at the water in the toilet after that. I mean, I just didn't, I've never been as comfortable. I go snorkeling, I do all this, but I'm constantly thinking, you were looking for that, Eric. Did you find the Spielberg to Tom Cruise? It looks like he's trying to cut it right
now. Well, I will tell you that since you're on that topic again, that the movie E.T., which is one of my favorites, and the closing scene is one of my favorite scenes. That is one of the very first movies, or the only time, where Spielberg gave up control to Williams, and Spielberg actually edited the closing scene to Williams' score.
Because he was the other way around.
He was so blown away by the music, and John just said, "Trust me." And so John finishes the score, and he does it out, and then Spielberg goes back in and edits the visual to the music, and that's how the closing scene. I get chills.
Literally have chills.
Yeah, I mean, it's still, to me, I remember seeing that as a kid, E.T., but I mean, now with my musical background and my interest in music, that's still one of my favorite scores.
So who's your favorite? So is John Williams. Who's your favorite movie composer?
I don't have a singular favorite because they're all so different. I mean, William Zimmer, James Horner, you know, Brian Tyler, one of the more modern composers, you know, and I'm getting ready to interview Elliot Leung, who's a great up-and-coming action star composer from China.
All right. We think we have this. The audio, you're going to have to listen closely, folks, where Spielberg's telling Tom Cruise at the nominees luncheon, "You saved Hollywood." Let's listen. I heard it there. "You saved Hollywood."
"You saved Hollywood." He leans in, they embrace, and he's you know, hollering to him because it's so loud there. And the nominees luncheon is a tradition that goes back to the history of the beginning of the Oscars, where that's when they officially get their certificate of nomination.
I mean, it may not win, but at least we're starting to see popular movies make it in. I have to say, it was my, I haven't seen Women Talking. I haven't seen, I saw Triangle of Sadness. I saw it the other night. It started out, yeah, all these movies, by the way, are 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
And I can't do that anymore.
Well, one of the reasons that you're seeing a lot of these...
I do it at home so I can pause it.
Yeah, exactly. And then one of the reasons you're seeing more of the popular films get nominated is when they expanded it back to 10 movies in the nomination window.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. So I have seen more of these than I thought, but you don't care. But you're covering the Oscars, but you don't care.
Yeah, no. Actually, the most exciting stuff comes from the stuff you don't plan for. The winners and the losers, we let the anchors handle that here because you don't get to see and hear the stuff backstage. I do.
Do you have to wear a tux?
Oh, yeah. A dress code, hard dress code.
Where you go out,
dress code.
What to, like, Men's Warehouse?
I have a suit.
You're going to like the way I look? You look?
I hate it. God, I hate it. I only wear a suit a couple times a year, and it's for the Golden Mics and for the Oscars.
What about dress shoes?
Oh, yeah. Well, no, I use a cheaper work shoe because I'm walking around.
Right.
I'm not wearing leather shoes in the rain.
Pictures.
There's rain.
I want pictures. Steve Gregory, thank you as always.
It's great to see you always, Jane. I love having you here.
Oh, it's rare, and there's a reason for that. When we come back, the swingers couple that is trying to make money proselytizing for a non-monogamous lifestyle, I interviewed them. Of course I did. Jane Wells filling in for John and Ken, KFI AM 640.
Hey, you've been listening to the John and Ken Show. You can always hear us live on KFI AM 640, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday, and of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
"Let me run this by my lawyer" is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Live Nation presents Concert Week.
Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bissell Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/concertweek to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.